You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Most New Yorkers, at least those who enjoy eating out or who watch television, public television, are familiar with the Emmy-nominated and James Beard Award-winning chef, author, and restaurateur Lydia Bastianich. Since 1998, she has hosted the PBS program Lydia's Italian-American Kitchen. She owns or co-owns several Italian restaurants throughout the country, including in Manhattan alone, Del Posto, Becco, and Felidia. Ms. Bastianich is also the author of several cookbooks like La Cucina di Lydia and Lydia's Family Table, and she's just written her first children's book. It's called Nana, Tell Me a Story, with illustrations by Laura Logan, published by Running Press Kids. I'm very pleased that it brings Lydia Bastianich back to our show.
Buongiorno, buongiorno, Leonard.
And the last time you were here, you were joined by your mother, Erminia Motica.
Right.
It was this past August on a day when I unfortunately was away, but everybody agrees you were in good hands with guest host Christopher Walken.
You know, we're friends since childhood. I worked at his parents' bakery, Walken's Bakery in Astoria, when I was 14. And then we kept our friendship through the years.
I did consult with you about my vacation in Italy, and one of the places I visited was not far from your winery in Friuli.
Ah.
The area felt a bit different than the rest of Italy because it's so close to Austria and Slovenia.
It is. It is. That area is so influenced. I mean, it's actually literally where Western Europe meets Eastern Europe. So it's not like between France and Italy, you know, always in the romance kind of mood. That's really big difference.
Slavic, yes. People are speaking Slavic languages,
exactly.
And German languages. And
exactly. I speak all of those. You know, I mean, I speak Croatian, some German, and more because of that. And hence, you know, the food reflects that kind of mixture. And that area was back and forth. It was under the Austrian-Hungarian. It was the Venetian. It was so on and so on.
Well, the place you write about here, Pula, which was part of Italy, now is part of Croatia. In its south Istria.
Exactly.
It was a Roman outpost for many years, and then it was conquered by every group that came through.
Every group came and went, and we were there, you know, through. And so the languages, the food kind of reflects that. You know, for us, we make apple strudel, we make knödelers, we make, of course, pasta polenta and everything else. We make sarmi, stuffed cabbage, very much part of what we do, and that is the mixture.
Did you make it with an Italian sensibility, or is it just simply that all these foods were the foods of the local area?
All these foods just kind of fell into place. I knew that, you know, we spoke Italian or whatever, that sarme, if you will, was kind of an introduced ethnicity and flavor, but it was accepted. I mean, I still make it now and then because I love it.
Mm. Did you? Are there still a lot of Italian speakers in the area, even though it's now
you know,
Croatia?
The whole thing came after the war. That area was given to Yugoslavia, communist. It was the Iron Curtain went up, and it was a complete cut, change of names. You couldn't speak the language. You couldn't go to church. That's why we kind of escaped back to Italy and ultimately came to the United States. And so that was kind of, you know, really kept rigid for the longest time. Then slowly, you know, Yugoslavia kind of broke apart in Croatia. And even the Croatian, you know, they're very much into their Croatian heritage and so on, because that is Croatia now. But the leniency towards the ethnic Italians there is happening. They're opening Italian schools. They have the clubs that they allowed. So it is.
Well, there was resentment in the past because Mussolini introduced something like ethnic cleansing during his
exactly.
period in power.
Exactly.
In your children's book, Nana, Tell Me a Story, your grandchildren are at home for the holidays, and you tell them about your childhood memories of this season in Istria. Are American-born kids curious about what life was like in the old world?
I think kids are kids all over the world, you know, and kids love to be told story or read stories. I know I was always, as a child, you know, that was the thing. You sat around the hearth at night and you heard stories from grandma and grandpa. And what did they talk about? They talked about a lot about what they did. And I know that my children are very curious about what I did as a little girl. What did I play with? Did I have this? No, I didn't have the iPod. No, I didn't have television. And, you know, so what did you do, grandma? And so I think it's, you know, certainly, you know, this is where we're heading. You can go back, but I think that you can use that kind of philosophy of life, maybe the simplicity of it, as a springboard to do better where we're heading.
Is Christmas celebrated by all the different groups in Istria at the same time?
It is, but there is, you know, there is the part that it's Orthodox, sort of Greek Orthodox or Slavic Orthodox. And of course,
Serbian Orthodox.
Yes, Serbian Orthodox. And they have their differences in that. But
Croatians are Catholics.
Yeah, and there were the Croatians were Catholics. The Italians, of course, were Catholics, but there were some Muslims there. So it was really a melting pot. And of course, Trieste right up there, I mean, it has a big Jewish community. So we were, you know, I mean, with all the difficulties, it was a great setting to be brought up because you appreciated different ethnicities.
How is that reflected in the kinds of Christmas traditions? For example, decorations.
Well, you know, Leonard, the decorations, as I say in my book, were not all that big. It was, I think, more about the food and the people and getting together and maybe the religious practices and singing. That was big. It wasn't that we decorated the whole house on the outside with light. We had a few candles. That's what you had. You know, that was the light.
But the food you ate, you suggest, wasn't just typically Italian. It also reflected all the Middle European nationalities that were in the area, Croatian, Slovenian, Austrian,
you know,
Hungarian, Germans.
We did, especially in the desserts. You know, the desserts, the palacinka, that was a big one.
And you include a recipe in this book.
Yeah, I do. The book has 15 recipes. And, you know, since my story of Christmas is where we decorated our Christmas tree all with edibles. We decorated our Christmas tree with, we put oranges, tangerines were in season, any apples or pears, nuts, walnuts. We wrapped them in foil paper and tied them up. And then we baked a lot of cookies, the crostoli, the brutti ma buoni. And we would tie all of these onto the tree and also the candies. And that was our decoration.
I tried that one year and the oranges went bad almost immediately.
Why?
Because I had to stick a thing in them and
you got to tie them. You get like a little package with the bow. You got to be gentle to them. I think they have to be very fresh, you know. And, you know, maybe the temperatures were different a little bit. You know, the houses weren't all with heating elements all around it. You had the central hearth and that was it.
When you came to America, your family settled in another very diverse area, Astoria, Queens.
Yes. Well,
what would have happened if you go to some other neighborhood where you hadn't had so many different cultures?
Well, I think, you know, immigrants kind of stay together because it's a sense you miss. I know, as parents, certainly children maybe are more amenable to change. But where you have a cousin or somebody that pulls you, then you feel like you belong and the community starts again. Yeah. When we came first, we were in New Jersey for a few months, and then we ultimately ended up in Astoria. And of course, that was Italian, Greek, and German when I grew up there.
And now so many other groups.
It's Egyptians. It's really
Koreans.
Great. Yeah, Koreans, Egyptians, a lot of South Americans. It's still a great neighborhood.
Queens is almost like where the area that you grew up in. You mentioned, well, first of all, I should tell people my guest is Lydia Bastianich, and her latest book is a bit of a departure. It's called Nana, Tell Me a Story, subtitled Lydia's Christmas Kitchen, and it is a book for kids published by
Perseus.
Perseus is the parent company here.
Right, right.
With lots of wonderful illustrations here. And you mentioned some of the recipes. You have palacinkas. What are palacinkas?
Palacinka is a crepe. And every ethnicity has some sort of a – because all it is, it's some flour and some liquid. It could be water. It could be milk and then some orange in there. And then you kind of fry them and then you stuff them. And we did it with marmalades, a lot with marmalade. And that was a big thing for us. That was a big dessert.
Would the French recognize it as a
crepes?
A crepe?
Yeah, but I think the French would add much more butter to it, much more kind of a breakdown, kind of soft. Whereas the palacinka that I remember from my childhood were more kind of water and flour and then some flavorings. And then what made it good is because we either sprinkled it with sugar or spread it with marmalades.
Another, I love the name of another one of the recipes, ugly but good cookies.
Brutti ma buoni. Well, brutti ma buoni means, ugly but good. And I was also very conscious, to include recipes that are today kind of recipes. And brutti ma buoni is a gluten-free recipe for cookie. It's completely egg whites. And it might have just a little bit of flour, but you can omit the flour and honey. You cook the honey and the egg whites. You whip the egg whites, cook the honey, and then you fold in the nuts and then you bake them.
This book's main theme seems to be passing along family traditions while creating new ones.
Well, these are my traditions. And, I as I said, I continue to tell stories to my children. And I had put that down for my family, for my children. But then I said, these are very universal. This is, and of course I was coaxed by the publisher and whatever, you need to do this. And I think that these ideas, any ethnicity, any holiday could be kind of put in on, what is a holiday all about? It's about being together. It's about identifying who you are through your food and sharing. And that could be done in any ethnicity.
Can people in the restaurant business rest on the holidays and be together? because Christmas and New Year's are big days, aren't they?
They are. We spent a lot of time. All of the growing up holidays were mostly done in the restaurants. And I can tell you that this Christmas Eve, we are going to be at Del Posto as a family. Then Christmas Day, I'm going to do at home because we close most of the places on Christmas Day.
And what kind of food will you be serving?
Nice antipasto, because I'm having quite a few people.
But so, I mean, have you become more Italian since you've come to America?
Oh, no, I'm Italian.
No, I understand. But in this area, as we pointed out,
you're talking
about
maybe Italian-American?
Well, the food there is such a mixture of different things. If you do have pasta everywhere, but if you go to the rest of Italy, you're not finding a lot of the dishes that you find in Istria or in Friuli.
No. So am I more homogeneous rather than regional?
Yeah.
Holidays, I kind of stick to somewhat regions. So we'll have goose, but I will have a nice capon stock, and I will have the agnolini, which is very much Emilian, the little stuffed pasta, because the kids just love that. And of course, I think the diversity will come in the antipasto. We'll have baccalà mantecato, I'll have octopus, I'll have prosciutto, and all of that kind of stuff. That sort of covers all of Italy.
Wasn't there also a TV special called Nonna, Tell Me a Story?
There is. It's still running on public television and on Create. There's a half an hour special where we all become animated. It's an animated special, and it is really wonderful. I think it's getting some great, great response out there, and it's across the country. And also, Leonard, tonight, actually, I will be signing the book at Italy.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because the last time you were here was the same month that Italy opened. You're saying Italy, isn't it?
Italy.
There are a couple of shops in Italy as well, aren't there?
Italy is a concept out of Piemonte, and Oscar Farinetti, an Italian businessman passionate about food, opened it about 6 years ago. And then he has another one in Bologna. He's working on one in Rome. He has also one in Tokyo. But he wanted New York. Of course, if you conquered New York, you kind of, that's the world.
And opened up this huge space.
50,000 square feet.
That is crowded every day.
It is wonderful. Of course, it is the holidays, but it is. We were kind of surprised at the response. One would say, yes, the concept is unique, because within this concept of retail space, we have 7 eating restaurants operating and eating, and then we have a wood oven fireplace, and then we have 2 wood oven pizza places. And so it is, Leonard, what it looks like? It looks like if you would take 3 or 4 city blocks of an Italian city, and you can go almost to storefronts, except it's all under one roof. And in the center of it all, there's this piazza, where we have these tall tables, and people can just butt up next to the tables. They have a menu, and from one corner they can get their crudo from David Pasternak, and the other one they're making fresh mozzarella. Then you can have all the affettati, and more than choices of 60 different wines, and that's the gathering place.
And then you have a cooking school upstairs.
The cooking school is on the side next to the Manzo restaurant, and I'm very much involved in that because I'm all about education, and that's doing wonderfully. So, you know, they're all booked. We're going to teach Italian as well, but we're going to teach it in the kind of food vernacular. You know, we're going to teach all about colazione, and we're going to have a colazione, and then we're going to teach all about lunch, and then we're going to have lunch. And so, you know, the real kind of experience of maybe being in a trattoria in Italy and ordering lunch, and how do you do it in Italian, and then they'll have lunch as well.
Just one more thing. You have this book. You have a whole bunch of other books that you've written. Your husband has a book out. Your daughter has a book out.
My son has a book
out. Oh, your son and your daughter.
Yes.
So.
I think, Leonard, when we first came here.
When do people have time to cook?
Oh, no. You have time to do all of that. When we first came as immigrants, I told them, you know, you need to get your education. This is the opportunity America is offering you. You know, they were born here. I said, and so they did. They went on and got their specialty. My daughter's an art historian. My son is Wall Street, but he is passionate about wine, and so he writes it because, you know, in order to kind of accumulate information, you do a lot of traveling, and then when you have all that information, it's nice to share it, to put it down.
Lydia Bastianich is the chef owner of four acclaimed New York restaurants for Lydia Becco, Esca, and Del Posto, as well as Lydia's in Pittsburgh and Kansas City, the author of a number of cookbooks, some of them companions to her successful and very popular television show. And now she's written a book for kids, illustrated by Laura Logan, called Nana, Tell Me a Story. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you. And I would like to remind them that I will be signing the book tonight at Italy between 5:30 and 7:30.
Thank you so much. Thank you.